gotta go into a place of sanctification and prayer, locked away with God, and let God forge you into what he wants you to be. And he chooses what he wants you to be. If you're gonna be a ditch digger, you'll be an anointed ditch digger, and people will be getting saved as you dig those ditches. Amen. See, that's why you don't try to think about what it is. I accept the calling that you put on me, whatever it is, and I just do it to the best of my ability, like Derek Prince says. That's how you do this. Man, folks want to try to follow the paradigms of the world where you try to be famous and you want to blow up. You know, folks keep trying to blow up. They're looking for some kind of an end game whereby they're finally in the limelight. Not going to happen. The only person that will ever be in God's limelight is Jesus Christ. That's it. Period. So we're going to deal with this thing. We're going to try to move another barrier as we talk about the red robe of deliverance this morning. Just another barrier. Every message we present is designed to strike at a barrier. That's what we do. Every message we present is designed to follow the instructions given by this letter to move the barriers placed between God and his people. That's all we're about. I try to stay in my lane. That's my lane. I'm not jumping to the right and the left. He told me to do this. This is what I'm going to do, and this alone. Now, whatever else has to be done, that's not my responsibility. I'm staying in my lane. So we're talking about the red robe of deliverance. Look over at Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, and we'll jump into the very essence of this red robe and what I'm talking about. But first of all, I want to address one barrier that I think is very significant now in church, and that is the barrier of fear. Fear is just the tormenting. The Bible says fear has torment. People are scared to death of the devil. They're scared to death of the times we live in. They're scared to death of how the systems are just billowing at them. They're scared of the IRS. They're scared of everything. Needles at the doctor. They're scared to death. Scared of tragedy. Scared of being robbed. And scared to pump your gas because somebody might hijack your car. We live in a realm that is defined by the word terrorism. That never was around 20 or 30 years ago, terrorist. The airport could be going through without all this stuff being checked on. You're going through all these different checkpoints and all of that. We live in a terroristic age where fear is the predominant spirit. Everybody's afraid. And if the devil can just inundate your mind with fear, he'll control you. He can control you through your fear. So you got to overcome fear. You got to defeat fear to remove that barrier, because fear nullifies faith. Fear will totally disintegrate faith in God. If you're afraid, you won't trust God, you won't believe God, and the most important thing is you won't obey God. You won't do what he told you to do because you're afraid of what the people might think, what they'll say, what they think about me, how I talk. I'm not educated enough. Go down the list of fears that will just cripple you and make you unable to obey God. So if you don't obey God, how can you have faith in God if you don't obey what he tells you? Because you got to believe what he says, and then that belief will then instigate an action. See, when I can't take that step to perform it because of my fear, God now has been stopped. God can't use you to manifest himself because you're afraid of the people. You got to overcome being afraid of people. The Bible plainly says the fear of man brings about what? A snare. What's he saying? What's a snare? A snare is something that catches an animal. It can't move. It hangs you up. So the fear of man will do what? Hang you up. Man, my thing is, when you get a transformed mind, everything goes neutral. You don't care about anybody because what has happened to you? You've lost self-consciousness. When you lose self-consciousness, you could care less what people think about you because you've now been done away with. I'm not conscious of me. I'm not conscious of staying alive. I don't care what the outcome is. I don't care what you do to me because I'm not self-conscious. Remember, the carnal mind is self-conscious. The spiritual mind is God conscious. That is something you got to just anchor into your soul. You get rid of that carnal mind and you'll become invincible. Look at this, Matthew 10, verse 16. Matthew 10, verse 16. What does he say? Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be you therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils and they will scourge you in their synagogues. He already told you they're going to whip you in the church now. You find out when you know Jesus Christ, you get many a tongue lashing from the pulpit. That's where the whippings come from. Because the preacher is feeling like you are a threat to him because you know Jesus for real. So they whip you in the synagogues. They beat you down in church so you never get to Jesus. Because I know I don't know Jesus. And if you get to him, he'll expose me to you. I'm somewhere as a pulpit pimp trying to take your money. So I hold you back from Jesus because Jesus will expose me as a fraud. So they got to beat you down. They keep trying to incapacitate you. It's like a woman with a no good man. That's why he's calling your names and calling you, telling you you're nothing. He's got to beat you down so you never know what. That he's nothing. He's beating you down because he is so messed up inside himself, so incapacitated, so effeminized, oh nasty down low brother. So he's got to beat you down to incapacitate you so you'll be so crippled that you can never walk away from this bum that's trying to humiliate you. That's an old tact of a bum. A no good man will try to verbally beat you down so you feel worthless yourself. He has to be something by making you nothing. Man, get as far away from those broken down bums as you can. They hate men. See, when you got a bum, he'll hate a man because he can't be one. He can't even assimilate into the groups of men because he's so incapacitated. He doesn't know how to be one. So all he does now is try to examine somebody and talk about them. That's why your little wimpy husband is sitting there trying to talk about me, telling you the gospel, lady, because he doesn't have any gonads. In the street, they tell you you ain't got any balls. So you got to try to put down anybody that does have some because you have been castrated. Go to Jesus, get your manhood back. You'll stop complaining and stop whining and stop trying to put down other folks because you've been made whole. That's what you're after. There's nothing worse than to see somebody trying to put somebody else down in order to make themselves feel like they're somebody. That's the weakest person on earth. Look at this. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. He's telling you now you're going before political rulers, governors and kings to testify against them and the Gentiles. You got to be prepared to do that. You know, what's funny about people is they never stay set to go. What do I mean by that? The Bible says you should always be ready to give a person a response for the faith and the grace that rests on your life. You ought to always be ready to speak up. The loss of self-consciousness will do this for you. It'll get rid of your inabilities and your inadequacies. It'll make you know that Christ is all-sufficient. He can do anything. I have decreased and now he's living through me, so I don't even think about it. I don't think about it because, hey, I got to believe that Christ is operating at all times. And if I stay submitted to him, stay behind him, he'll take the blows of life for me. He says, but when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak. For it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. Don't think. A lot of folks try to think themselves into a coma about what they're going to say when they get there. He said, don't think about it. Pray up and God will speak up. Amen. Don't think about what you're going to say. You rehearse this stuff all day and get there and start stumbling around and stuttering and go crazy. I forgot what I was going to say. Doggone it. Don't go there. Pray up God will speak up. For it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaks in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. That's an irrevocable, indisputable prophecy given by Jesus Christ. Don't try to avoid it. As we cascade deeper into the end times and people become reprobate, your own kid is capable of putting you to death. Your parents will put you to death. Accept it. Ingest it. Digest it. Accept it. Don't wrestle with it. Don't try to understand it with a carnal mind. He said it. He said what he meant. He meant what he said. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endures to the end shall be saved. You got to endure to the end to be saved. Don't fall out of this now. But when they persecute you in this city, flee you into another. For verily I say unto you, you shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, the Lord of the flies, referring to Jesus being satanic. Satan calls Jesus the devil all day long. He's called the master of the house Beelzebub. How much more shall they call them of his household? So if they call Jesus Beelzebub the devil, they're going to call you the devil simply because you really got saved. Remember, church and religion is not salvation. When you really get saved, it's going to separate you from church people. And they're going to call you the devil because you really came to the Lord. You got to know that. Just settle that inside of you. It's not abnormal for your Roman Catholic mama to think you've lost your mind. You're in a cult and you're the devil. It's not weird for your Baptist grandmama to think you've lost your mind. Because you got fear of the Holy Ghost now and you talk in tongues. You really came to the Lord. It was real for you. They just had a form of godliness that denies the power thereof. Well, what about them? It's not my responsibility to look back. I remember Lot's wife, like he told me. What's going to happen? I don't know what's going to happen to them. See, what's not your responsibility, leave it alone. You sit at home and ponder and wonder. Don't ponder, don't wonder. If you want to make it up yonder. Because you're going to be lost trying to find out what somebody's doing. But my grandmama, look, that's God's business. Now, I got to make my calling and my election sure. He says, look at this now. Look at this monster we're facing today. Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, what God is whispering to you in your bedroom at night, you go and speak it in the light. And what you hear in the ear, that preach you upon the housetops. When you got that meditation down in you, just say what you're hearing. You don't have to think. I never think deep thoughts to get messages. Whatever I hear, whatever I meditate on, I preach about it. Because that's the Holy Ghost, how he deals with folks. What you meditate on is the message of the hour for you. Tell it. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now, Jesus spoke about hell more than anybody. And now folks say, I don't believe in hell. Guess what? It's not going away because you don't believe in it. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear you not, therefore, you are more value than many sparrows. Whosoever, therefore, shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. So you see where the conflict is coming, right? You got to step out here and represent him in real time, in front of folks, face to face. Family members, your mama, your daddy, your sister, your brother, the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker. I've got to step out here armed and extremely dangerous with the word of God and whatever the Holy Ghost inspires me to say with no thought for my life, proclaim it. To be counted worthy as a child of God. Sitting in church pews is killing people. You're not an operative. You're not a witness. A witness has to do what? Tell a testimony. You got to testify. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the word of God. You believe with the heart. You confess with the mouth. That's not a one-time confession. That's a continual confession before men about Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of this gospel. And you got to be able to stand on Main Street and let everybody know that Jesus Christ is the only way. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. But how can they hear without a preacher? How can a preacher preach a proclaimer proclaim unless they've been sent? How beautiful are the feet of them that go forth proclaiming the good news. And yet we want to be counted as the children of God, as saints, and called and chosen and all this other stuff. Sitting in a church pew. It's the most damnable place on this planet. You get none of the spoils of the victory because you're not a witness. We're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Yes. Of which we all should become one of them. Yes. They spoke up. Can't you see the dividing line? It's between those that speak up and those that don't. You're not going if you have not been a witness. Man, this thing is real. You better let this thing sink in real deep because it's real. Luke 12. Verse 8. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denies me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. Think about that. You can deny Christ by your silence. He that denies me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemes the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. And when they bring you into the synagogues and unto magistrates and powers, that word powers is authorities, judges, Supreme Court justices, the president, the governor, whoever. When they bring you before these people, take you no thought how or what thing you shall answer or what you shall say. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say. You got to walk around like that. I got to believe the Holy Ghost can rise up and come up and speak out whenever he wants to through me. Because my body is where? On the altar. The body's got to be on the altar. He says, take up your altar every day. Did you not know a cross is nothing more than a vertical altar? That's why Jesus was sacrificed on the cross. Old Testament, horizontal altar. Man sacrificing to God for man. Horizontal. Vertical altar. God sacrifices for man unto God. It goes vertical. See, it went from God to God. Now it's man, God, man, Old Testament. Now it's God, man, God. Now it's vertical. So you see now, God has made a way. God has made a way by one time offering of his son for everybody. And this is why we're talking about a red rope of deliverance. He threw us a rope to deliver us, and Jesus is that rope. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. What's the goal of everything we do? Simply put, to deliver you by getting your mind out of here. See, the fight that you fight is the devil trying to keep your mind earthbound. Notice how when you spend some time with the Lord, you pray through a little bit, pray, fast, seek the Lord, bathe in praise and worship. Now the devil comes with some mess to get you earthbound again. You got to learn to train your mind. Not me, buddy. Nobody wrote. Set your affections on things above, the Bible says. He will keep you in perfect peace if your mind is stayed on him. Can't you see the fight is to get you to look horizontal? Folks, problems, situations. Not my problem. I'm not God. I'm just one man trying to make it in. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of what? Fear. He hasn't. If you got a spirit of fear, guess who it didn't come from? It didn't come from God. He gave you what? Spirit of what? He gave you a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. So don't let the devil tell you you're crazy. And don't play crazy now. You know, if you play crazy, you'll go crazy. A lot of folks that got out there trying to get stuff from the government and stuff, trying to play crazy, they're going to lose their minds. Because God said, you want to play crazy, you're going to go crazy. You don't play with your mind, because you'll lose your mind. And you just got one. Ain't no spare tire in it that's going to back you up. You lose that mind, you're going to go crazy, and you can't be retrieved. Deluding yourself, playing with your own mind, and man, you're going to go crazy. Because what? You're living a lie. You're telling a black lie, trying to do something. And God's going to say, okay, I'm going to give you over to your insanity since you want to be insane. Don't play with this. He says, he's giving you a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the what? The testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of what? The afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Folks don't want to be a part of the afflictions. We mentioned something like little old Dunamis Tabernacle. They see afflictions based on what? The message. They hear this message. If we get into that, I know if that goes forward, I got to pay a personal price for it. Because they're going to come for all of us. And since I don't want to die, and I don't want to be persecuted, and I don't want to suffer for the gospel's sake, let me get away from that. And I'll listen from afar. Guess what? Over there on live stream, you ain't in it to win it, and you're not going to be a partaker of anything. You are a distant spectator, not a proven participator. Only those that participate in the victory gain access to the spoils. You get nothing out of this because you are not a participant. Spectators. Watching the game. Cheering for the game. Looking at the game. But not playing the game. You don't get the victory. See, I know what we're fighting. We're fighting forces. I tell guys all the time, the message we preach should have 5 to 10,000 guys in the parking lot right now today. But the guys have been crippled and they've been made into cowards. Most men on this planet right now are cowards. Because they won't engage a metaphysical nightmare called Satan. They won't come against this fallen cherubim angel. They'll talk a bunch of talk, yakety yak all day. Hang around sports, drink liquor, smoke dope, run women, but they will not engage the enemy. You got to be willing to engage the adversary and overcome him, or else you're just kidding yourself. This is no time to play. You've got to get serious about this thing for you. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, take a look at verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love cast out fear, because fear have torment. He that fears is not what? He is not made perfect in love. Why is that? Love in God's economy is selflessness. So if you are afraid, guess who you think about all the time? You're trying to protect self against any danger, harm, or hurt coming your way. So that thing trying to protect me from being hurt is what's making me unable to love people. I'm afraid of me being hurt, me paying a price. I can't love you because I'm thinking only about me. For you to love, you got to be a conduit, because through the Bible is plain, God is love. So that means you got to become a conduit, a channel through which God can flow for love to flow from you to the people. But if I'm stuck on me, guess what I'm full of? Cholesterol. I blocked the flow of love. I blocked up the arteries. That's why the Holy Ghost can't flow, because the Holy Ghost is the spirit of love. He doesn't think about himself. He's a nameless servant in the Old Testament, thinking about the Father and the Son and getting a bride back to them. The Holy Ghost never does what? He never glorifies himself. He only glorifies Jesus Christ. See, the meeting place for everybody is Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost is totally focused on Jesus Christ. The Father is totally focused on Jesus Christ. The bride of Christ is totally focused on Jesus Christ. Now we got unity. Jesus Christ is the what? Common denominator. The angels are focused totally on the words of Jesus Christ. You got any other thing, and you are out of sync with God. That's why it says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. What is rebellion? It's me trying to get my will done at God's expense. I'm using an unseen power of witchcraft, which is a work of the flesh, according to Galatians chapter 5. I'm using that work of the flesh, witchcraft, to try to accomplish my will. That's why Jesus said, not my will, let your will be done. Gethsemane, all by himself, praying alone in the dark. Is there any way other than this crucifixion for me to do this? Nevertheless, not my will, God, let your will be done. When you finally subjugate and abdicate your will to God, you're free. So you see now, cholesterol is blocking us up from being conscious of self. How do I look? What will I get out of it? What do you think about me? Trying to preserve my life here. I don't want to take any pain. No persecution, no affliction. Man, the mind is doing this. Yes. It's painting imaginary images about what's going to happen to me if. The devil's always using what? Threats. What I'm going to do to you. Well, devil, what about what I'm going to do to you? Right. We need to be on the offensive. And here we are backing up, taking all these blows from the devil, afraid of him. And if you back up from him, if you get afraid of him, he's going to walk up the front of you and down the back of you. He's going to rip you limb from limb. Fear. Overcoming fear. Now, what I'm saying from the Bible and what I'm saying to you in real time is hypothetical and theoretical. Until you see a real display of what I'm talking about. This next video will show you a real display of what it looks like to be out there. Here's a man totally unarmed, just a conservative guy, trying to deal with folks that have been taken over by the power of the devil. And this particular spirit right here that's going to be on display in this video is the spirit that's got everybody afraid. If you're going to win this thing, you've got to overcome this spirit in this video right here. And watch it. Watch this one thing about this spirit. How vicious it is. How tenacious it is, how militant it is, and also I want you to watch how the guy that seems to be a normal guy sides with that demon because he's afraid of it. Watch now, watch. This is what's coming at us. It's coming at you like a locomotive, man, and you better get ready for it. It's going to get heavy from here on out.
Yeah. All across the world, at this very moment, there are young people coming to terms with being transgender. They're learning that they're different, and they're trying to figure out how to handle that on top of every other problem that a teenager has. They're getting bullied. They're getting beaten up.
They're getting murdered, and they're committing suicide. But this transition has been harder on me than anything I could imagine. And that's the case for so many others besides me. For that reason alone, trans people deserve something vital. They deserve your respect. I'd like to thank, personally, my buddy Diane Saul. You know, you can only tell your story the first time once, and Diane, you did it so authentically and so gracefully.
Joining me now in the audience, Shagun Oduolowu, entertainment journalist, Zoe Tour, pilot and reporter who herself is transgender, and Ben Shapiro, senior editor, Breitbart News, author of Bullies. Ben, does she deserve this award?
For what?
For courageously coming forward, for having been an athlete of great prowess, and now fighting a new battle.
What exactly is the battle? I mean, self-definition is what you do, and my baby's doing it at 18 months old. I wasn't aware that you get a medal for it.
Shagun?
I think she's a fraud. I thought the message and the messenger were wrong. I was in the audience at the ESPYs, and if you want to talk about courage, she said it herself in her speech that she retreated to her mansion on in the hill. And was, where was she in the 70s when the LGBT community was fighting for acceptance? Where was she in the 80s when the AIDS epidemic was ravaging the
she
LGBT
was hiding,
community?
Feeling bad about
hiding.
Being transgender.
Where was she in the 90s when shows like 90210, no, Melrose Place, and Will and Grace were bringing people, gay people to the forefront? Where was she in 2000?
My
thing is this, she's a 65-year-old rich white woman that decided to do this, but don't tell me you're walking in the truth for other transgender kids of color who don't have that war chest of money to get the surgery to look like she looks. They're not going to get the cover of Vanity Fair.
Regardless,
so don't tell me that she is going to stand on the banks waving her hand as the beacon for transgender when there's a river of blood of people that die.
Okay, regardless of who the messenger is, okay, whether you like it or her not, or think that this is an authentic person or not, or her intent, she is bringing a conversation to the forefront that is helping people better understand, not you unfortunately, better understand the transgender community, have more empathy, have more tolerance, and that is saving lives. Because as she stated, there are so many transgender youths and adults that are victims of violence, that are beat up, that are bullied because of the discrimination. So thank God that now she is mainstreaming it so people can better understand it and have tolerance.
Sam, that's dead wrong.
She
lives in the most accepting city in the state. And go do that in Alabama.
No,
be a hero.
Yeah.
Be a
hero. Listen to Zoe.
Go ahead.
Good try. You have to bifurcate it. Did she deserve the honor? Probably not. Is she brave? Of course she's brave. All those years invested is this sports legend. To come out transgender is horribly difficult. It is the most difficult thing you can do. I've been overseas. I've flown helicopter missions, surveillance missions. I've been shot, stabbed. Being brave is being yourself. And being transgender is about the bravest thing you can do. Did she deserve the award?
65?
Yes.
Why are we mainstreaming delusion?
It's not delusion.
Why would you call it delusion?
Because Bruce Caitlyn Jenner, I'll call him Caitlyn Jenner.
No, it's
that's
her. You're not being polite to the pronoun.
Because
disrespect.
Okay, forget about the disrespect. Facts don't care about your feelings. It turns out that every chromosome, every cell in Caitlyn Jenner's body is male, with the exception of some of his sperm cells. It turns out that he still has all of his male appendages. How he feels on the inside is irrelevant to the question of his biological status.
I don't agree with that. I'm not on that train. She wants to be called she. I'm going to call her she. I just have a problem with the message and the messenger.
I'm going to do two things. I want to reiterate what Zoe said, which is the bifurcation of the courage to come forward after a lifetime as a male and a certain kind of a male versus did she deserve this award? Listen, the awards, what are award ceremonies except an opportunity to catch some eyes?
Especially the
ESPN. Well done, ABC. Yeah. They did exactly what their job was, attract eyes. They did it. That's what award ceremonies are for. But In terms of the science behind gender dysphoria, you're very familiar with that, Zoe.
Very familiar.
It's not about the chromosome. Excuse me, the chromosomes within our nuclei.
We both know
chromosomes
don't necessarily mean you're male or female.
Gender.
With gender.
Gender identity. Go ahead.
No, so. Especially, but even so, you have a thing like Klinefelter's syndrome. So you don't know what you're talking about. You're not educated on genetics.
Would you like to discuss the genetics?
No.
Your genetics?
So let's get away from the genetics and back to the brain scans.
You cut that out now, or you'll go home in an ambulance.
Now, that seems mildly inappropriate for a political discussion.
No, I know. Well, yeah. But to be fair, you're actually being rude.
I'm sorry. It's not rude to say that someone who's biologically a male is a male.
You're just
someone who's biologically male is a male.
But Mr. Shapiro, you knew very well that saying that to Zoe would be egregiously insulting.
It's not a matter of insulting or inflammatory.
It is. Sir, you're right. On paper, what is a fact is a fact, and I can't deny that. But you knew that going in that saying that to Zoe would be aggressively insulting.
The entire discussion is whether we are embracing mental illness and delusion as a society. That's the entire discussion.
You're avoiding the fact. You want to talk facts. You're avoiding the fact. You're not a dumb man. You knew that saying that to Zoe would be incredible.
Roll on the last word here. You have no chance. And then,
you know, there's,
then
some,
I gotta...
there's some very startling statistics that are out that say that 80% of us know somebody who's gay or bisexual or even transvestite or lesbian, but only 1% of us know somebody who is in transition. So this is a new discussion for us. A lot of it is very scary for a lot of people. But that's, I think, whether we agree with the whole Caitlyn transition or not, the reality is that we are in a state as humanity right now where we need to exercise a little bit more tolerance. We need to understand the things that we don't understand a bit more. Instead of making inflammatory comments, maybe we have a little bit more tolerance.
We'll keep it going, but later we're gonna no aggression, no violence. We're gonna Caitlyn Jenner, she was honored with the Arthur Ashe Courage Award last night at the ESPYs. There's speculation that the award was payback for having given Diane Sawyer her first interview with Jenner on ABC and ESPN are part of the same corporation, of course, the Disney family. And ABC tells Los Angeles Times, quote, there is absolutely no connection between the interview and the award. There's simply no truth to that claim. Back with Sam, Rolanda, and Mike, and in the audience, Shagun, Zoe, and Ben. All right, so Zoe, you're in that piece, you're saying it wasn't a transgender going at their own pace. It was a product rollout. What are the liabilities to the human being, Caitlyn Jenner, as a result of being a part of this product rollout?
Well, you can't sustain that type of energy. You cannot sustain that type of fame. Things shift. You have to reinvent yourself. But I think at some point, this comes crashing down because along with all this, you know, adulation and hype, eventually you find out that you're really in an existential crisis because what's my life really going to be like? Will it be... You have to deal with people like this, the hatred, the people that, you know, that come out against you and say,
and it just kind of go on and on like that. You know, they talk about all that stuff, you know, and the man that was saying that we're here to talk about delusions and insanity, he's the only one that's got a little sense up in there, because that's insane. The guy's sitting there in a drag queen telling you that your chromosomes don't mean anything as far as your gender. But what I'm trying to point out is, while he's sitting there as Miss Zoe, he jumps back in the male character talking about you going home in an ambulance. So, I mean, you a woman or a man? What are you? That's what's coming at you on the street. It's funny sitting right here. When they bust you in the mouth in the front lobby, it ain't going to be funny. Because they're going to beat you down. You got some of these jokers, 250-pound linebackers that have transitioned over to this mess. It's a very, very, very strong probability that they're reprobate and they can't be saved. Bruce Jenner, I believe, went the final step and cut off his male organs. That's probably reprobation, irretrievability. You're just damned. Nothing you can do about it. You become exactly the opposite of what God made you. and now you stand against God with every fiber of your being. Your mental faculties are set against God. You war against God, meaning you war against his body. They're at war against the church. And look at all those folks, and they're thinking they're heterosexual, and they align themselves right with that spirit. What's doing this? What's got this flow coming at us right now that's so hateful? Despising Christ, despising God, hating God. We told it 20 years ago. The end time would play itself out, and it will be defined by a sodomite-saint conflict. Those that are sanctified unto God and those that stand as sodomites against God. This thing is unfolding, man, like a movie script was written. And see what's happening? Code words like tolerance, diversity. We should learn to tolerate our differences. That's the devil right there, buddy. Because the church proclaims truth. We don't tolerate anything. We adhere to the same truth we proclaim. I was looking at a discussion this past week on Facebook. Rashid parachuted into a discussion about a lady had come on saying she was a church woman telling folk that oral sex was ordained of God. And we should be proud of it. It's a way for us to pay homage to our men's sexual organs because they made our children by performing oral sex on them. That's reprobation. But you'd be amazed at how many women parachuted in agreeing with her. And the women fought Rashid as he said it's an unclean act. It's turning the natural use into that which is against nature. And some guy came in there talking about, well, you know, the Song of Solomon promotes it. And it's not an allegory. This, he wants us to do this. That's the reprobating of the church. And of course, Rashid came with the old adage. You mean to tell me you would eat out of the toilet? You're lapping up urine, feces, menstrual blood, and semen like a dog. You're unclean. See, you can't see in the Bible it says one of the works of the flesh is uncleanness. And now the minds are so warped, they are the same people as that guy named Zoe on that video. They are Caitlyn Jenner. That's the reprobating of the church folks' minds. That's why I'm telling you, you gotta have another separation now. You gotta separate from the unclean, defiled, sodomite church people.
Yes.
Or you'll lose your mind in this. Because you'll be sitting up arguing about something that is filthy and saying God ordained it. If it wasn't happening, it would be unbelievable. But this is happening in real time. You saw the discussion right there. See the anger that came up out of that sodomite spirit. That's the real him. I want to sit here in this blonde wig, fake breasts, and high heels on, and I want to tell you, you're crazy if you think there's something wrong with me. The hardcore butch, aggressives, what they call the studs, got one on Facebook right now saying, God gave me a revelation about his word. If you preach the letter, that's flesh. When you preach grace and mercy, that's the spirit. So you see, if you try to tell me what I am is not valid, that's flesh because that's the letter. But God has given me grace and mercy as a stud butch dyke. And that's the Holy Ghost. That's the spirit. And having women's seminars. The reprobating of the church. Don't you know they're marking this right here? They see me. I want to make it real clear, I'm not you. There's a line of demarcation drawn between me and you. I'm not you. Jesus Christ receives none of that. You're a damned soul headed to a sinner's hell, lest you repent to have your mind cleansed and expunged of the filth that defines you. And what defines you has now confined you and is guarded by a world-ruling demon spirit. You need help outside of yourself now. You can always tell a person when they're chained up and bound. They have no way of expressing themselves. The demon is in manifestation 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The demon has taken over the vessel.
That's right.
Man, this is World War III. We're in it, man. We're in the midst of it. And church folks sitting around brain dead. Don't try to hide a Jezebel spirit by warring against unrighteous men in church. That's just a way for women to defile other women's mind to make them turn on male leadership. And it sounds like it's being somebody that's got a revelation from God about what men are doing wrong to people. No, man, that's a trick. It's going to get your mind as a woman defiled and turned against male authority. I see that mess making inroads on the internet. You better forsake that right now before you have your mind contaminated against your own husband.
Yeah.
That's a lesbian spirit with their face beat. With all the hair draped down the shoulders and all the curls and stuff. That's a lesbian spirit.
Amen.
You know, a woman can be a drag queen too.
Right.
Have a man's soul in a woman and doll her up. You got a drag queen. Because she got a man's heart. Just got a pretty face. You better learn to discern spirits. Everything is not what it looks like. You got to discern spirits. You get a masculine looking man that's a thoroughbred homosexual. And then women talking about either down low and I didn't know it. No, you were just attracted to a man that was feminine inside because you got that lesbian spirit in you. We've been telling this a long time. And it's news to the church world. What you have taken for granted that you know. Man, you don't see them walking in this. Why do you think the numbers think, people who've been here a long time, seen all the people leave here. What do you think drove them off? We're not downgrading this for anybody, including me. It drives off the multitudes, and you'll have the few and the chosen, the Marines left. This thing is bathing society. It's permeating the culture. This is real. I feel sorry for the young conservative guy that wrote for the magazine because he's trying to base it on psychological evaluation. It's insanity and it's perversion. See, he don't have any Holy Ghost power. Because if he had a touch of God full of the Holy Ghost, that homosexual hand would have probably rotted off of him. You know, see a hand maimed, you know, like. Because they know who to fool around with. Don't get them wrong now.
That's right.
The apostles striking folk blind and stuff. If it's not time for them to die. Now, you saw when they died and they were martyred. But you didn't see what was happening one time when it wasn't time for them to die.
Yeah.
You don't want to don't fool around with them. When it wasn't time to put Jesus to death, you don't want to be grabbing Jesus. It's not his time yet now. Don't grab him now. Because you liable to knock the guys down coming to arrest him. Study the Old Testament. God would have an angel slay 185,000 guys, one angel, in a battle. Elijah telling Gehazi, man, we got angels and chariots of fire with us, man. We can destroy everything in sight. See, these are armies at our disposal. If we'll just get on God's side and stay there. We got to get in the spirit and stay there and walk this thing on out. You'll be contrary and detrimental to everybody that's not with God. That's the way it is. You don't see the tens of thousands running. Look at the room. You don't see tens of thousands of people running to this. They're afraid. They're afraid of the Sodomite spirit because the Sodomite spirit is in them and you'll never stand against what's in you.
Right.
You won't do it. Right. It's got you. It's got you, and that oral sex took you down and you've never been delivered from it. You can try to play and fake it and try to look like and act like all you want. You won't run to the battle when that thing is in you.
Right.
God is looking for people that run to the battle. David runs to the battle, and his little sissy girly brothers were offended in him because they were following Saul up under Saul with Saul as their covering. That's what church is. How many men you know sitting up in church talking about this, my pastor is my covering? That's a gal. He's effeminate. So I won't run to the battle. And then a woman marries this thing. And he running around up under the pastor. And now you talking about you submitted to your husband. And your husband submitted to the pastor. Out here, what y'all is some kind of a... What are you? A trilogy? A trilogy. What is that? That's some kind of three stories in a book or something. Threesome. You, your husband, and the pastor. And you feel secure as a woman because my husband is up under the pastor. You married to a homosexual. No man gets up under another man. See, about up under a man, that sounds effeminate. Submitted to him as my covering. Somebody need to slap you upside your head. The only covering you see is a woman under a covering that shows submission to her husband in the Bible. And I'm his armor bearer. Somebody need to beat you. Fear. And folks are doing all these things out of a spirit of fear. Trying to do what? Stay out of the conflict. I don't want them coming for me. I don't want to be the one that has said what was said, so they're looking for me. That's what it's all about. Look at these clowns on headline news, Dr. Drew. Look at them. Look at Dr. Drew. Look at the black guy saying, "No, I'm not saying all that. I'm not saying all that now. I'll call them her and miss and she." A guy standing there, 250 pounds, male sexual organs, hairy chest, hairy legs, big, rusty, stinking joker. And you talking about you're going to take an ambulance and this time you call me she or he refer to me as a mister or something like that. Man, what's wrong with you? You want to grab him? Larry, what's wrong with you, bruh? What's wrong with you? You know, that's a demon. These are demon spirits flexing now because they feel like nobody will stand against us. That's all it is. They got all these church folk in the pews Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, knees knocking together, pretending like they're serving God and they faithfully walk with God. I stand up here and say what I'm saying. I'm strange. I'm weird. And I'm looking for a guy. A guy is running away from a homosexual man. How would he look? And a homosexual threatening him. He's somewhere. "I'm sorry, man. Don't hit me." He's a homosexual. I'd rather you take me outside and kill me before I cow down to that trash. That's why I said you got to be willing to die with this man. At some point, somebody's right and somebody's wrong. It's a difference between the clean and the unclean. You're going to make me believe that God made a mistake and put a woman in a man's body and a man in a woman's body. God did that. God's a kook if that's true. He's a nutcase. At some point, man, it's time to rise up and be accounted for. We talk about registering for the conference in June. Don't come if you're a coward. Don't come looking to have no ministry received by you and sitting up in a seat looking crazy. We're looking for people that are ready to engage an enemy and win it. Period. We're not looking for people to come down there as numbers. Don't come. Don't come. Don't want you nowhere around. Nothing we do. It's time for a new breed of Christian. Somebody that's saying, "You know what? I love the folks enough to save their souls from impending disaster." You heard Derek Press talking about loving the people? You don't love nobody if you see them damned and you don't do anything. You think about yourself and what the homosexuals think about you. On your job, you're conscious of the homosexuals on your job. You'll say something and they'll have you down at the manager's office talking about you offended somebody because they're gay or in transition. Look, I'm going to tell you this last thing before I get my pink slip and leave, Mr. Johnson. You ain't a man. You gutless, spineless puke, you. You calling me in here for this? What are you? Do you have any kids? You got sons and daughters? You come to your stinking job in this dirty, low-down environment, and you sacrifice up your kids to stand for this? Man, hand me my pink slip and hurry up and fill it out. That's how you got to go out of this. The rubber is meeting the road now. It's time to evacuate the premises. It's time to make a final stand and not care where the chips fall. How far are you going to be pushed in this? The White House, the outhouse, Senate, Congress, Supreme Court, local governments, everybody's terrified of everything, and the culture trying to tell me and you that Jesus Christ is abnormal. Jesus Christ is offensive. Jesus Christ is homophobic. The Bible should be burned. And then try to modify the pages of the Bible to make it a gay-friendly Bible. Non-gender-specific words in the Bible. God is no longer a father. He's a parent of all. Let me tell you something. You got to sell it. Look, you better go home. You can't do it here or by live stream. You better go home and turn your plate over for a few days and settle this thing inside of you. I know how it is. I had to go by myself and fast my way into this. I'm going to settle this thing for me. It's going to be me and God alone until it's settled for me. That's what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus settled his death praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. It was done. He said, sleep on now. It's finished. It's done. I got it. You got to settle the fact that this is an impossible mission from which you will not return. You got to settle that. I make no plans for coming back. Notice now, he said to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He don't say nothing about you coming back. You wade into this thing with confidence, with boldness. Believing God is able. But you got to be transformed in a child of God to do it. You can't meditate on their world without getting afraid. Listen to their inputs all day. Feed on their garbage and all of their filth that they put forth. It's a propaganda machine going on. That's why they hire homosexuals like Don Lemon, Shepard Smith, Anderson Cooper, Ellen DeGeneres. They put these folks in front of you for a reason. It's propaganda to brainwash you. All these old homosexual rappers have turned the kids into weirdos and freaks and coots. Young girls in high school come to school with yoga pants on and bedroom slippers. How'd your mama let you out the house like this? No discretion, no virtue, no dignity. Just a trashed out whore. And that's normal. See, we got the standards so lowered in this nation, in this world, that anybody that has any valor, any honor, any dignity, any decency is a foreign commodity now.
That's right.
Just be clean and you're strange.
That's right.
Whore's going to argue with Rashid about performing oral sex on somebody. Using all this graphic language about him and what haven't you had it done to you. These women talking. You get the women being this nasty. Women are filthy. They curse like dogs. They act like animals. Listening to Lil Wayne and Nicki Minaj and Trina and Jay-Z and Beyonce and Rihanna. And all that filth bathing your mind, and all that is a method of transferring spirits to folks. That's all they are. All these rappers and singers are nothing but conduits for the devil's unclean spirits. While you letting your daughter look at Beyonce, she's becoming a rank whore. That's all she's doing. Serena Williams talked about getting engaged. She's pregnant before she even get to the altar. That's advertising something to your daughter. Man, at some point, you ought to reach a breaking point. Especially as a guy. A guy ought to say, you know what, man, hey, that's it for me, bro. We're going in. And I don't care what happens. I don't even care how it turns out. I don't care if I live or die. I'm not going out like this. See, if you go out, you ought to determine how you're going out. Certain ways, I'm not going out like that, man. I'm not going out with some guy in a blonde wig with his hand on my... I would have told him, first of all, hey, man, let me tell you, first of all, take your hand off me, man. You're not intimidating nobody up here, bro. You get your hand off of me. And you can kill me for all I care. Talk about the ambulance. Ambulance, you better kill me, bro. That's what you better do. But you get your hands off me, man. You don't intimidate nobody up in here. That's what they're trying to do, trying to intimidate somebody. I was crazy in the world. I'd rather you kill me, man. I flipped out there. Hey, kill me, man. Before you go out like some old two-bit punk boy. But now we got these tenderoni sissies in church. Most of you on this stinking live stream. You make me sick at what you do. Man, I don't like how he talking. It's reverberating all through the screen. Because you're tender. The women got more fight than you. And you think you're showing love. You ain't showing God any love. If they drag your son off, drag your daughter off, turn your boy into a homosexual, your daughter into a lesbian, make you into a little punk that won't do anything. You ain't showing nothing to God. You're not showing love with your old soft-spoken gibberish. Get up from there, man, and get some fight in you. What's lacking in the church is some good old-fashioned punch, some fight, man. You can't undertake this endeavor with some old soft soap, little tender mess. That's right. Love the people, not the devil.
That's right.
We have no instruction in the Bible to love the devil.
That's right.
You fight the devil with everything you've got.
Amen.
This is a war. The service we have looking at videos and things of this nature is to teach the people and instruct them. Look at the mess in church. Some old fool tuning up like an idiot for 2 hours. Squalling like an old girl. Going down on one knee and all this old toning flesh and all that garbage. What you sitting up under that trash for? You're not even a man listening to that trash. You're not even a woman listening to that trash. You listening to Luther Vandross. Teddy Pendergrass to get some goosebumps and some feelings in you. A real woman wouldn't come for that trash. She'd come to be instructed in ways of righteousness. She'd come to be conformed to the image of Christ. She'd come to be taught the ways of God, not to be entertained by some moron. Jake makes me want to puke when I look at him. Puke! With that old effeminate trash he's trying, all that toning flesh and all that arm movement, that's garbage. You need to be conformed to Christ. You need to have your mind transformed. We're in a spiritual warfare. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. We got to have a new breed of Christian now, buddy.
Yes.
That can stand and command authority, take on the adversary, and be in it to win it.
Yes, Lord.
Yes,
yes, Jesus.
Yes,
Lord.
And not care who don't like it.
That's right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
This is a disgrace before God.
Yes.
This mess walking around down here.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus.
How does God get us out of this mess? He chose us in Christ from the beginning of the ages. He chose us. What does he do? He throws us a red rope of deliverance. Look at Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2. If you can find somebody that was just mad about this mess and stop being intimidated by everything the devil does. That joke is banking on you backing off of him and being scared of him. He just putting all of his weight down on nobody having the intestinal fortitude to stand up and say what needs to be said. Joshua chapter 2 verse 1. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim 2 men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came unto a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. Now, you know the story of Rahab the harlot. She helped the spies and lowered some guys down from her house, from her house on, with a rope to save them. Now, this is what happened when she let them down to save their lives from the enemy. Verse 14 in chapter 2 of Joshua. And the men answered her, our life for yours, if you utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord have given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee, talking to Rahab for delivering them. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers be returned. And afterward may you go your way. The pursuers are a type of the demons. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, that you shall bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. So you see now, they said, we take this land now. You take this red rope that you let us down by and tie it to your window. So we'll mark you. We'll tell the armies, do not attack you and don't destroy you, because that red rope will signify that you have been a part of our deliverance. You are a deliverer. Rahab was marked as a deliverer. If you want to be marked by God in the end times, you better be marked as a deliverer. Are you setting people free? Or are you binding them? You got to be in this thing. If you're not a catalyst, if you're not a part of it, God won't be able to identify you as his. That red rope of deliverance is what's going to identify you. Now, what does that rope do? That rope brings us out of transgression and conforms us to Christ to be used by him. And if you understand how this rope is activated, you'll understand how grace and mercy is extended to us. Now, I'm going to use a visible display to show you this. Wesley, come up here for a minute. This is a red rope. I am not going to hang Wesley. We will offer Wesley as a sacrifice in order to...